Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. The Brian Callahan era begins today. His introductory press conference in one hour. We will carry that live and in its entirety. Joining us now is Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and, of course, head coach. Absolutely. At Endsworth High School.
Yeah, give him the cred.
Gotta give him the cred. Tim, appreciate you for joining us. Brian Callahan will be the Titans' next head coach. What do you make of the hire?
Yeah, I like it a lot. I love his offensive background. I mean, I'm probably a little bit biased just because of, you know, things that I learned, I guess, you know, and really not just me, probably myself and my brother, you know, from our time in the NFL. And, you know, obviously, like, his father was somebody that kind of been around and close to things that my brother and I have experienced. And obviously he has kind of come off of that tree. And so I just think from an offensive perspective, I love his background. And then I also think in terms of how he's worked his way up in the profession, I believe is the right way. So I like it. I think it's a lot different than Mike Vrabel. And not to say that like Vrabel was bad or anything like that, but just it's so different that I think that if we were to make a change and there was probably some intrigue in terms of why you were making the change, I think the difference is significant enough in terms of personality and things like that.
And I'm interested to hear your perspective as a quarterback. You know, Brian Callahan is going to be calling plays. Mm-hmm. Haven't heard who is going to be his offensive coordinator. I would assume that Rand Carthon will give him the liberty to choose his own offensive coordinator. What is that dynamic like between the quarterback, a play-calling head coach, and the offensive coordinator?
Yeah, I think that the big thing with that would be is, you know, when you have a head coach that's calling plays, you know, what is the structure to handle game management stuff, right? So make sure your game management stuff is handled, because that's hard for the head coach to have the game management piece as well as calling a play. So I think from like even a game day perspective, it's unique and something you have to work through. You know, in terms of the head coach quarterback connection and relationship, what's interesting there is, you know, when you're the head coach, like you have a lot of other responsibilities. And you know, with that, I think what happens is, you know, do you have the time to be in the meeting room with the quarterback all the time, really talking through everything? Like, you don't, because as a head coach, there's just other things you have to do when you're the head coach of the team in the National Football League. So then there's that piece of it. So I think probably the hire of offensive coordinator, and I would agree with you, I think it would be crazy to think that he does not have the authority to hire his own offensive coordinator. I think that hire, you know, how much of a just direct connection is it all the way through from head coach, coordinator, quarterback coach, quarterback? I think that ends up being really important. And that's part of the reason why I think, you know, you have to have full authority in terms of who you hire and put in that spot.
Yeah, you're right. We talked about it a little bit yesterday, Tim. We talked with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach at the Endsworth Tigers here in town. That dynamic between quarterback and offensive coordinator is going to be a critical one because, like you said, the head coach, even though he is the play caller, he has other duties that he has to attend to during the week. So it's going to be imperative that whoever he hires as coordinator thinks just like him in regards to how you want things structured, how you want to call these plays, when you want to call them. That's why I look at a guy. It's interesting how Dan Pitchert was named OC for Cincinnati. They didn't want him to get out the building because they wanted that continuity. Can you see a guy like Troy Walters now, who was the receivers coach, who has been with Brian Callahan at Cincinnati for a while, can you see him being a guy that he hires as OC? Because like you said, Tim, he needs someone that thinks just like him because he has to delegate other duties that he need to mm-hmm. attend to. So whoever that OC is has to be an extension of him.
Yeah, and I think that part of what happens with that is like a guy like Troy, who's done, I mean, honestly, was an amazing player in his mm-hmm. own right, you know, at Stanford and then, you know, played in the NFL as a wide receiver. I think part of it ends up being where you ask yourself, okay, what do I need as the head coach, coordinator, who's there? Like, do I have a blind spot in the passing game? Do I have a blind spot in the run game? Do I have a blind spot with my quarterbacks? Like, who is the right person in that spot? And I think that, you know, a lot of times it comes down to what has your experience been like working with him, right? So, like, I would think that Troy is absolutely a candidate based on his background, what he's done, who he's been around, and how long he's been around them. So, yeah, I think that there's that. There's also, you know, when you can kind of look and say, all right, I know what we've done, but it's also not terrible to have guys that, you know, I have a good relationship with, but they have ideas and have done things, you know, not exactly the way that we did them in Cincinnati or the way that, you know, that we've been taught to coach the offensive line when, you know, Bill, his father, was coaching at the Jets or at the Raiders or places like that. So, you know, I think it's trying to strike the balance of that so that, honestly, that you are, you know, building the best staff possible to get the most out of your guys.
Now that we know who the head coach is, obviously the staff is not in place yet. Is there a spot, because Caroline and I talked about this earlier, is there a space for Derrick Henry within this offense? Because I believe that in hiring Brian Callahan, they've removed themselves completely from what the Titans, the old Tennessee Titans. I think now they're in a direction where we want to do some of the things that other NFL teams are doing, more innovative things. And in saying that, does Derrick Henry have a space on this team?
You know, I don't think he's the type of runner or the type, and then I don't think the resources spent on him that would be necessary are a fit. Like, that would be my guess. And, you know, I think I think that that's probably, and look, if I were in that spot, I would be looking at, you know, younger, you know, less expensive running backs that, you know, I think the way I would look at it, if I was anticipating, like, hey, what will the team do? I would look at places like, you know, San Francisco before they got McCaffrey. I would look at, you know, the Miami Dolphins and what they've tried to do. I would look at, you know, places like I would look at Kansas City in terms of, you know, things that they have done. Like that's what I would anticipate is the direction. Now, I could be wrong about that, but that just feels like, in terms of history of who they've coached and how they've coached them, I would guess that the running game starts to look a little bit more like the Rams, the Niners, the Dolphins, like that type of stuff would be my expectation.
Last one for you, Tim, quickly, because I know you got to run, but it was announced yesterday, in addition to the official release that Brian Callahan was going to be the head coach, that Rand Carthon now will have final say over the roster, and he'll also oversee Brian Callahan, the coaching staff, and the coaching staff as well. What do you make of that new dynamic now that Rand officially has the keys to the car?
Yeah, I think it's probably important to just be clear about that, because I think there was probably so much uncertainty over, hey, who was really in charge. And so, you know, whether or not, you know, that should, like, I guess what I would say is, I think everyone felt kind of strange about how it was set up before. And I think the fact that it's now, you know, set up in a way that's clear and defined, I think that that's, you know, good and appropriate. Now he's got that responsibility. And so, you know, with that, you know, probably, you know, comes a little bit of pressure. But I think I was glad, probably just from a clear line of delineation in terms of, this is how we're structured, this is who's in charge. And so, not to say, like, now you know where the blame goes, but now you know where the blame goes.
I mean, credit and blame is incredibly important in the NFL. ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, appreciate you for stopping by, and we'll chat with you next week.
Thank you, guys. See you.
All right, appreciate it. Tim Hasselbeck, he is the very best. And I think we can all agree, Brian Callahan needs to have authority over his coaching staff.
Yeah.
Even if Rand Carthon's job description says he has oversight of Brian Callahan and his coaching staff and everything that goes on within the coaching staff, it really should be Brian Callahan.
Yeah, it should be. You know, how much I think in at key positions now, I do want to know, you know, who are you looking to hire as your DC? Because that's going to be critical and instrumental on, you know, help setting the culture of your team, your defense. So who are you looking to hire as your DC? You know, who are you looking to hire as your OC? You know, I'm thinking the easiest sort of, you know, and you know, Tim did bring it up. Even though I say Troy Walters, how was their working relationship? I tend to think it was a good working relationship, but you just never know.
Yeah.
But I always go to either Dan Pitchard, who now has gotten a job as OC, and then Troy in Cincinnati, and then Troy Walters. Now, will they elevate Troy Walters, or will they allow him to speak with other teams? I don't know. But that seemed to be more of the easy sort of transition because we all spoke the same language. We all sort of saw things the same in regards to when we met and how we put the game plan together and what was expected of you as a receiver coach, what you had to relay to your receivers. So that line of communication is there. So that's sort of an easy way to segue, you know, to help segue my coaching, my head coaching tenure off, because I got somebody that was in the same system I was in. We spoke sort of the same language. He understands what I'm looking for. I understand who he is as a coach. So it seemed like an easy transition, but it might. Exactly. But it might not happen. But I'm just, that's a name that just keeps coming up for me. So you should have, you know, you should have the ability as the head coach to say, these are the guys that I want. Bring them in for interviews. Let's interview these guys. And then make a decision based upon that. Don't. It would be kind of awkward if you just bring somebody that he hasn't worked with or anything else or don't know, and it's like, okay, marry these two guys together. Even though, you know, it may work, but if it doesn't work, then it's like we got to start this wheel over again.
Especially as far as the offense.
Exactly. You got to me. You got to get this right from an offensive standpoint. You believe you got it right by hiring the head coach. In your mind, you think you got it right. He's going to be the play caller. But you got to get it right with the OC. You got to get it right with the quarterback's coach and everybody else below that. Because if you don't get it right with them, you're going to be in this same situation looking for coaches again. Now, the only reason you want to be looking for a coach is if your offense is doing that well and he gets a job somewhere else. Okay, I get it. I don't want to be looking for a coach because my offense is suffering. I don't want to have to do that. So allow him to at least the OC and DC or just offensive guys in general.
Yeah.
Allow him to have his first pick at guys he would like to interview first and then kind of go from there.
And you got to get offensive line coach right.
Yeah, that one you like DC, OC, well, not necessarily, I guess OC, but offensive line coach, that's imperative. You got to get that right.
You can't screw that one
up.
Yeah,
you
can't.
And
that's been a big topic of conversation for us. One, obviously, because the offensive line was absolutely terrible. Mm-hmm. And yet, you need more talent. Absolutely. But the Titans didn't have an offensive line coach this past year in Jason Hodling, in my opinion, that was able to get the most out of the offensive line that you had. You had terrible talent, and I also don't think that you had a very good coach.
You had a guy that wasn't ready. I don't think he was ready for the job.
No.
You elevated him maybe too soon, but you did it. That was your – you did it. It happened. But we didn't see the fruit of it at all. It seemed like they got worse. They did get worse.
They definitely didn't get better.
Yeah, they didn't get better. They
that's
got worse.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
So that, of course, obviously is one reason why that's been a big topic of conversation, and also because of who Brian Callahan's dad is, Bill Callahan. He's the offensive line coach in Cleveland. I don't think that I realized how well-respected Bill Callahan is around the league until I heard Charles Robinson on with Robbie and Rexford this morning kind of singing the praises of Bill Callahan. This was Charles Robinson.
You know, Callahan's name came up, and it was interesting. He said to me, he said, you know, this guy has a premium attached to him beyond how much, you know, the Bengals really think of him is this attachment of Bill Callahan, obviously his father, who's the offensive line assistant at the Cleveland Browns. And I hadn't really thought about it, but I went back to my notes in training camp, and there was a general manager who I was sitting with one day, and we were just kind of talking about the difficulty of dealing with offensive line development in the NFL. And he told me, he said, look, man, the two most important assistant coaches who are not coordinators in the NFL right now, he said, the two most important assistant coaches in the NFL right now are Jeff Stoutland and Bill Callahan. And he said, because you have two guys who can get their hands on offensive linemen who are coming out of college right now, who are very difficult to develop, who are very difficult to scout, and can turn these guys into an assembly line of real offensive line talent. You can take, you know, they can take the second layer of the depth chart from the offensive line position, and they can develop into real players who can then succeed if you lose. You know, somebody goes down to an injury or free agency or whatever it is, you have an in-house ability to basically turn college players or underdeveloped linemen into an assembly line of real offensive line talent. That is a big deal in the NFL right now.
So per Charles Robinson, one NFL GM he was talking to, two of the most important or the two most important assistants in the NFL. One, Jeff Stoutland, offensive line coach in Philadelphia. We know how great that offensive line is in Philadelphia. Also, he looked at Andre Dillard and said, I cannot work with this. Two, Bill Callahan, Brian Callahan's dad. And we've talked about, you know, the likelihood of bringing in, or the possibility of Brian Callahan bringing in his dad, Bill Callahan, in as offensive line coach. And I think one of two things. After hearing that from Charles Robinson, now I think you have to get Bill Callahan because you have to improve this offensive line. But I also look at the other side of it and think, well, if Bill Callahan is one of the two most important assistants in all of the NFL, why would Cleveland let go of him?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question. It's like you have one of the best at his position, at coaching his position on your team. Why in the hell am I going to let him go again just so he can coach with his son? I get it. I understand it. But I'm not going to diminish my team just to make your team better. You know, I'm not going to do that again unless I had, you know, a Mike Munchak ready on hand to go. Then I can say, okay, all right, you can make that move because now we got a Hall of Famer, Hall of Fame player, Hall of Fame offensive line coach. We got him in our building, so we're good. Would we have loved to keep Bill Callahan? Absolutely, but I understand it. But you got to have somebody to insert in that space if indeed he does leave. So, you know, it's going to be important for the Titans, not only to get those coordinators right. More importantly, I think, you know, the DC, because the OC is the head coach, but you do want to have an OC in title that thinks more like you than anything else, because you got to delegate your time to everybody. So that guy that's underneath you, that's an OC, it's going to be critical for him to know what's going on. But the offensive line coach, you got to get it right. You with this team, the way this team has looked over the last 2 years, that position is the outside of the quarterback. But damn, really, on this team?
Maybe even exactly more important than the quarterback.
Exactly, because if you don't get it right, we're not going to see what the quarterback can potentially be.
Right.
You know, so you got to get a guy in place that understands how to develop these players, know their strength, know their strengths, work on them. Don't put them in positions where they can't go out there and succeed. How many offensive linemen do we truly need to make this one of the better offensive lines in the National Football League? We don't need a whole new starting four plus Skoronski. No, we may need two or three guys, and that's it. So a guy like Bill Callahan would be better suited to let you know, hey, listen, I sat down, I evaluated all these guys. Yeah, we need a left tackle. We need a center. We may even need a right guard. You know, he's better equipped to be able to tell you that.
A little bit of news coming up from Jeremy Fowler We now have a little bit of clarity of Brian Callahan's contract. His deal will be for 5 years.
Okay.
If you want to move on from him after two, you can do that. Mm-hmm. If you would extend him after three and then fire him 2 years later.
She can't be paying everybody.
She is. We've got a lengthy little payroll. 5-year deal for Brian Callahan. We will hear from him at the top of the hour, right at 1 p.m. We'll carry his introductory press conference live and in its entirety right into your phones coming up next. Plus, what do we want to hear from Brian Callahan in his introductory press conference? What do we expect to hear in his introductory press conference? All of that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.